4 years ago, a worldwide debate emerged from the shattered glass of anti-globalization street protests in Seattle. From anarchist treehouses in the Pacific Northwest to six-star hotels in Davos, Switzerland, globalization has come under scrutiny as never before. Defenders of the global economy acknowledge the need to address poverty, but insist globalization can wear a human face. Detractors say the system is rigged against poor countries and that there must be an alternative vision that puts people before profits. In Sri Lanka, some say this vision has existed for decades. Sardovia is a village-based movement designed as a viable alternative to globalization. But in an increasingly connected world, such an effort faces immense challenges. As part of Worlds of Difference, a series on global cultural change, Sandy Tolan has this report.
His name is Krishna, and he was at the top of his form, a world-class master drummer, taking trips to refugee camps built in the midst of Sri Lanka's long civil war. There, he would teach children how to make music with instruments that cost nothing.
Like, for example, take a tin can and put some sand in it and play. Like, use that as a shaker. And I use plastic bags to make music. I'll show you how to do it. Like, say, for example, if I may play a Brazilian rhythm.
The trips into the camps were payback for Krishna's day job, figuring out how to sell Sri Lankans on Coca-Cola or game shows or phosphate mines for the biggest ad agency in the world, New York-based McCann Erickson. Krishna had everything he needed until the epiphany.
So when I started visiting refugee camps, I realized what I'm doing is immoral. What right do I have to ask that mother to give powdered milk, but not her own breast milk?
One day, Krishna decided to stop selling for the rich and devote his life to working for the poor full-time. He went on a search. Before long, he found himself at the door of an old man dressed all in white.
So when I met him, I realized this is not just an ordinary human being. This is a human being with a vision. Human being who has probably, I have not seen a man with such a large heart.
That large heart and the perfectly combed back silver hair and the paunch protruding from beneath homespun cotton all belong to A.T. Ariaratne, better known as Dr. Ari. The vision Krishna recognized in the old man had begun 45 years earlier. Disturbed by endemic poverty across his tropical island nation, Dr. Ari began to consider how to build an alternative to Western-based economic development.
Because development results in a few people earning lots of money while millions of people are getting marginalized. That kind of system cannot sustain. We said development is an awakening process.
An economic system based on spiritual values, clearly not a Western concept. Indeed, it's a concept inspired by Buddhism, with grassroots self-reliance at the core. Dr. Ari began traveling to the villages. He called his movement Sarvodaya Shramadana, a village awakening with the gift of labor. He wanted to build a commonwealth of village republics.
So very soon, within a couple of years, this expanded into so many other educational institutions in the country. And this became an independent national movement, the movement where you gift your labor, your land, your money, your skills for the well-being of all.
Teenagers shovel dirt and rocks in the rain. This is a small village just outside the mountain town of Kandy. It's accessible only by a mile-long stone footpath. The young people are working the Shramadana, their gift of labor, the result of the community's assessment of its needs. That assessment is the first step in the process. The second step is the work, in this case, building walls for the new village temple.
In the beginning, there was no unity here, and the village elders did not help the young people. But since the Sarvodaya movement came here, the village elders began to help us, and the differences between us faded.
We are happy we could develop the society, and because we joined the Sarvodaya movement, we find the village is improving, and happiness cannot be limited.
Happiness from shoveling rocks. Dr. Ari says scenes like these have been repeated in thousands of villages across the island, a surge in what he calls a gross national happiness. Sarvodaya's basic programs of village self-reliance, building water lines and schools, are now expanding to microcredit for entrepreneurs in small cities. A machine shop in a town 2 hours from the capital of Colombo. Two brothers, Dagat and Sumit Atauda, rebuilt parts for cars and heavy trucks. They took a small loan from the Sarvodaya movement's own bank. From that, they bought two bigger lathes, and their business took off. Suddenly, their families have enough food every day, and they're thinking about advanced education for their children. By some measures, Sarvodaya's work is wildly successful. It's by far the largest social service group in the country. The group and its white-haired leader are known to virtually everyone in the country. And yet, some Sri Lankans look back wistfully on Sarvodaya's grand dreams.
The main social goal and vision that attracted me was the idea of development being simply not a matter of economics, but also spiritual, cultural, the Gandhian ideal of development being from below.
Jehan Pereira came to work for Sarvodaya shortly after returning to Sri Lanka with his degree from Harvard Law School. He shared the Gandhian idea that society should be without poverty or affluence. But he began to see that in a global economy, such a transformation faces immense challenges from the outside.
There were big macro forces which were just sweeping aside the changes of Sarvodaya, so that Sarvodaya could not really be a macro force to combat the other macro forces.
Macro forces, as in Sri Lanka's huge international debt, conditions for loans from the World Bank, and austerity measures from the International Monetary Fund that keep wages low and drive hundreds of thousands of women away to work as housemaids in the Middle East. Jehan Pereira, now head of the National Peace Council in Sri Lanka, says this stacked the deck against Sarvodaya.
It had to work within a framework established by others, which was basically hostile to the work that Sarvodaya was doing. So I began to see that Sarvodaya did have relevance, that it was in a way a social safety net. It did reach poor people, but it couldn't be a social force to change, to truly transform Sri Lankan society.
The pressures we have from the international financial system makes it next to impossible to think of a commonwealth of village republics, which is our ideal.
Sarvodaya founder A.T. Aryaratne.
Our ideal is decentralized political and economic power to the maximum to the village. Bring it down to the village. To bring a village to that level of economic self-sufficiency, you have to use the existing financial network and still not become a part of it. That is the most difficult thing.
After reaching 15,000 villages, Dr. Ari admits to growing too fast. At times, this can affect Sarvodaya's mission at the grassroots.
If you take Sarvodaya movement, now the village program seems to be very poor.
Conrad Ranawake takes a long, cool drink from a shaved king coconut, tilting his head to see monkeys scampering through the canopy overhead. For decades, he's worked on rural poverty in the Matra district on the south of the island. He says in some cases, Sarvodaya's size makes staying at the grassroots difficult.
Some village programs were abandoned and neglected.
And yet, Ranawake says Sarvodaya and its founder have inspired countless individuals in the social groups they've spawned.
Sarvodaya was able to get the participation of the people in the village. They were able to spread the movement in many villages in the country.
it's true that Sarvodaya has not become the mass movement of social change in Sri Lanka it aspired to be, but its influence runs deep. The vision Dr. Ari began 40 years ago has helped make this poor country one of the healthiest and most literate in all of the third world. Last year, Dr. Ari even led more than 500,000 people in a mass meditation for peace in the capital.
We have to have immense faith that our philosophy, our thinking is right. We want to work for the well-being of all. We want all human beings to be fairly and justly treated. We are not a movement that accepts this class struggle. On the other hand, we believe in equity, justness, fair play.
As Dr. Ariadne always says, there is a critical mass of spiritual consciousness that has been created by Sarvodaya.
In his small room in the Sarvodaya headquarters, Krishna, the master drummer and former Adman, says his spirit is unbending.
So the effects of that consciousness, that critical mass, has shed upon me.
It shows in his voice, in the smile that almost never leaves his face, and in his music, played on whatever surface is available.
My cheeks are the best percussion instruments I can ever find.
Your cheeks?
Yeah, for example, if I may play. Here we are, a set of people committed to the upliftment of human beings and to awaken the human spirits. Nothing can go wrong.
For NPR News, this is Sandy Tolan reporting.
Our report was produced by Homelands Productions as part of Worlds of Difference, a series on global cultural change. There's more about the project on our website, npr.org.